Turn to Luke chapter 8 if you are following along. Luke chapter 8. I will read several verses. And verse 4 is where I will begin. Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. Luke records it this way, and I say that because Matthew and Mark also record this account. And there are differences, but there are no errors.
That's right.
There are no contradictions. There are just differences.
Yep.
Luke 8, verse 4, "And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried." And I just try to picture in my mind's eye, he is probably speaking somewhat, as given this parable, Mason, probably somewhat in a, maybe even a monotone, just stating this. And all of a sudden he cries out these words: "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear."
Amen.
In other words, pay attention to what you've just heard.
Yes, sir.
If you got an ear, listen. "And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be?" And I want you to note, at least in Luke's account, he doesn't begin by telling them what this parable be.
That's right.
He goes on to tell them what the parable be.
Yes, sir.
This is what he, "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see."
Yeah.
This is the very purpose of the matter. "And hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this."
That's right.
Do you see that? Now take some time later to go back then and read Matthew, Mark, and Luke all together. And then picture the whole scene and what took place here. "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, so there is no doubt as to what the seed is.
Exactly.
Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So we know what the first ground is.
Yeah.
"They on the rock are they which when they hear," so far, both grounds have heard.
Yeah.
"When they hear, they receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." The word we could put there would be they go into apostasy. "And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard." All three have heard, right?
Yes, sir.
They've heard what? The word of God. Not false religion.
Exactly.
Not the false gospel that is so touted today, but the very word of God.
Yes, sir.
"They which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But..." And oh, how we ought to thank God for that one little word.
Yes, sir.
But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. And this is not about they obey it.
Yeah.
This is not about some duty they keep. It's like this.
Yeah.
Lay hold of it and they pull it in here. They keep it. And bring forth fruit with patience. I have two different messages, one for this Sunday and God willing one for next Sunday or whenever we meet again, God willing. This morning, the title of my message is No Fruitful Believing. Next time we will try to look at fruitful believing. I will approach this in a little different tact this morning. I'm not saying that it's wrong to approach it the other way. I've approached it the other way on many occasions. And when I began to think about this, I thought, Walter, you preached on that just a few weeks ago. But what I'm talking about here is I'm not going to define each separate ground per se. Christ does so.
Yes, sir.
When it's valid. And it is the traditional approach to this. But what I want to do this morning is consider all the obstacles which fight against a person's salvation as revealed by the Lord of glory in the first three grounds. Think of all the obstacles that are aligned against our souls and hearts and minds. Because if you say, well, I'm good ground, you're only good ground because God made you good ground.
Exactly.
By nature, there are none of us that are good ground.
Exactly.
And that's why you will see, as I hope to show a little later, he doesn't give the parable and then immediately explain the parable. He gives the parable, then gives a parenthetic and says, it's given to you. Given. It's a gift. It come from above. It didn't come from within you. It's given to you, but to others, it's not given.
Amen.
Then, and then only, does he then explain the parable. This is vital. Think about it. All of the obstacles that fight against a person's salvation. There are things that hinder fruitful believing. The last ground, the fourth ground stated here, is the only ground that had fruitful believing.
That's right.
Right?
That's exactly.
The first, per se, had no believing at all.
Right.
The second quickly believed, just didn't last.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Religion today says believing's good no matter what. That's not so.
Exactly.
Right. That's not so. And I'm talking about believing after having heard the word of God.
That's right.
The truth of God. Oh, I believe that. Some folks did here too, but they went into apostasy.
Yes, sir.
Some folks heard it and the devil snatched it right away from them. Others heard it and cares and pleasures and riches choked out the word.
That's what it says.
And they became what? Unfruitful.
Exactly.
Only the fourth ground brings forth fruit unto perfection, and that only with patience. And we ought to thank God for that too.
Yes, sir.
Salvation is revealed only in fruitful believing.
That's right.
Do you hear what I say?
Yeah.
The only place that there is salvation, that is the salvation of God that is in Christ Jesus, is in fruitful believing. A belief that falls short of fruitful believing is nothing but adding to your condemnation.
Amen.
Think of the obstacles that are mentioned by Christ here. There is Satan stealing the word.
Yep.
He's a liar. Right?
Yes, sir.
The father of it. But he cannot thwart God Almighty in his sovereign purpose of sending out sowers to sow.
That's right.
So the word will get sown.
Yes, sir.
So when he can't resort to a lie, guess what he does, Mac? Yeah. He starts stealing then.
Yeah, that's right.
You see it?
Yeah.
He starts stealing then. Satan stealing the word. He's a thief and a liar. Here's another obstacle. The seed, the word, is trodden down.
Yeah.
It's even trodden down first before the fowls came. Remember, that's what our Lord said. He put it that way.
Yeah.
He put it that way, Jack, for a reason.
Yeah.
The seed is sown, but it's sown, how does he put it? Let me just get it right. By the wayside.
Yeah.
And it's trodden down. Then the fowls of the air come along and snatch it up.
That's right.
You see it? Our hearts by nature are set in defiance to the word of God.
You're right.
And it's an obstacle to our salvation. There's not a one of us by nature that when we first heard the word of God, even if we don't remember it, our feet trod God's word underfoot.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I've always believed this. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you ever said that yourself? Stop saying it. Because you haven't always believed this. You might have always been brought up under it, but you ain't always believed it. And even if you had always believed it, believing it that way don't do you any good.
That's right.
If you believe just because somebody else believed, that belief is of no value whatsoever. Satan stealing the word, the seed being trodden down. How defiant men are. I don't get on Facebook. I'm not here to criticize anybody who does. I'm glad some of you do. It gives me spies in the land. But be that as it may, one of the spies reported to me about something that someone had put on this social media. And people put stuff on social media and then get mad when they get called on it. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
But what was saddening was the defiance.
Oh, yeah.
You could see the word of God being trodden underfoot.
Yeah.
And you know what? I had to look at myself and realize by nature, in Adam, in my father Adam, that's me too.
Yes, sir.
Satan stealing the word, the seed being trodden down. The pleasures of this world, they're an obstacle, they're a hindrance, are they not?
Oh, yeah.
The cares of this world, all these things our Lord mentions.
Yes,
the cares of this world. And he says, not the deceitfulness of riches. Now go back, we read Luke, but remember Matthew and Mark's there too. There was a lot more said by Christ than just what Luke wrote. But if you read just Matthew, there's a lot more that Christ said than just what Matthew. You got to read all three of them. I didn't take time to read all three of them. He says, he didn't say the deceitfulness of riches. There are not good riches and deceitful riches. There are deceitful riches. All riches are deceitful. But, have you ever said yourself, but Abraham, you ain't Abraham.
There you go, that's right. That's exactly.
But King David, Solomon, you ain't King David. You ain't Solomon. And look at Abraham.
Yeah.
Look at David. Look at Solomon. Riches are deceitful. Have you ever thought, boy, if I just had hit that $540 million jackpot? Huh? I seen somebody win it and thought, man, that wasn't me. Because I didn't even buy tickets, so it wasn't going to be me. But then I even thought, if only that person knew me and loved me, maybe they would share. You ever done that? You know why you don't have riches? Because God knows you don't need it. God knows it would destroy you. God knows it would destroy me. That's why you don't have it. If you're a believer and you don't have it, that's why you don't. If he gives it to you, look out. He's about to show you something about yourself. At best, he's about ready to show you something about yourself. Think about it. Satan trodden down underfoot, pleasures of this world, cares of this world, deceitful riches, the trials of life.
Yeah.
All these things are obstacles to a man and woman's salvation, right?
Yeah.
Tribulations and persecutions that arise because of the word. Pseudo-Christianity is telling people, believe and everything's going to be better.
Yeah.
There's an advertisement, we just seen it on TV, wasn't it, Penny? Some woman preacher, and she's preaching how if you obey God and you believe Him, everything will be fine. That's a lie.
Right.
Now the reason it's not bad for them, because they're not really believing God.
Exactly.
They're believing religion. You believe the truth of God, and every demon in hell, so to speak, will break loose against you.
Amen. That's right.
The Antichrist spirit of this world will assault you in your heart, mind, and soul, if not even your body, if they could. Tribulations and persecutions will arise because of the word.
Yeah.
And that's an obstacle to some folks.
Yep.
Our Lord said so.
Yep.
Let me tell you, it's an obstacle to me.
Well,
except for the grace of God. He put it this way, a lack of moisture. I thought of it this way. I'm not saying I'm telling you, oh, I've got the insight into Christ's mind and exactly what all he meant by all these phrases, but I will give you a little insight. A lack of moisture. Could we not say that's the gospel in word only? Because the gospel has to come in more than word only.
Exactly.
It's got to come in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance.
Amen.
And in tribulation and trials.
Yeah.
A lack of moisture. This is an obstacle to men and women's salvation, is it not? He calls it another way he puts it is a lack of root. I thought of it along this line. No spirit wrought spiritual longing. That is this inner work of the Spirit of God inside an individual that says, I must have Christ above everything else in this world.
Yeah.
Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh, that I might be found in Him. And as old Martin Luther wrote, let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also. We live in a country of ease. We're so blessed lazy. Lazy! We are. I didn't say you are. I didn't say they are. I said we are.
There you go.
Lack of root. That's a hindrance. It's an obstacle. It fights against the salvation of the soul.
Amen.
Yeah.
No deepness of earth is another way to put it.
Yeah.
I thought of it at least along this line. No providential aid. As a matter of fact, everything in providence seems to work against this person or that person. Huh? The more they hear the word, the more they rebel.
Yep.
The less they hear the word, the more they don't care.
There you go.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
Huh? Right?
Oh, yeah.
You try to put this in quotes, force it on them, and they just kick.
Oh, yeah.
You let them alone, and they look at you and say, well, you don't care about me anymore.
That's exactly it. You're right.
But let me tell you, that's me and that's you by nature.
Right.
No deepness of earth. Temptations. The world is rife with temptations. Isn't it? You cannot turn on the TV without your flesh being bombarded with temptations. And the world is very subtle at it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Subliminal messages are there to lay hold of our flesh and draw it away from Christ. Temptations. But here's the thing. I thought about it. A preacher said it one time. Think of Adam. There were no bars to go to.
Yeah.
When Adam was created, there was no other woman for Adam to mess around with.
That's exactly right.
was there?
Yeah.
Was no movies to go see. Was there? Was no dice or gambling cards around. No casinos. And he still fell.
Exactly.
He still fell.
Yes, sir.
How much more you and I, having been made sinners,
yeah,
and then being in a world that is just rife with temptation, and you think we're not going to reach out to taste of a forbidden fruit of some kind? Come on now. And then this last one, apostasy.
Yes, sir.
Most people that you will talk to, especially even those that profess to be Christians, if you mention to them about apostasy, they have no idea what you really mean.
You're right.
They have no idea what apostasy is. You know what apostasy is? It's this. It is to make a start and then turn back. Our Lord put it this way with three words. Remember Lot's wife.
Amen.
And say that correctly.
Yeah.
Remember Lot's wife. It's not remember Lot's wife. No, it's remember Lot's wife. Huh?
Yeah.
She started out. She left the town too.
Yes, she did. Yeah. Right with her.
But turned back to look. Oh. The place was being consumed with fire and brimstone. And she still looked back.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, apart from the grace of God, that's me.
You're right.
Apart from the grace of God, that is every one of you. It's an obstacle to our eternal salvation. If I'm one of the elect, I will never apostatize. But I've not seen my name in the book yet.
Exactly.
All I have is the evidences of the preaching of this word and my reception of it. And sometimes that seems very near. Apostasy. Here's a summary of apostasy. Turn to 2 Peter. Men talk. Listen, it's nonsense. This thing of, well, I was saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. People don't get it. They're like the first ground.
Oh, yeah.
They hear the word and they don't understand it.
Yeah.
We'll mention that even in a moment. But here's apostasy. 2 Peter chapter 2. Speaking of these apostate preachers, leaders, prophets back then, preachers now, teachers. Verse 19, he says, while they promised them liberty, that is, these false preachers promised the people they preached to liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption.
Yeah.
Now think about the juxtaposition. They're talking about liberty, liberty, liberty. But they themselves, the very preachers, these apostate preachers, are the servants of what? Corruption.
That's right.
For of whom a man is overcome, notice, overcome of the same is he what? Brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein. And look, here's the actual qualifying thing. And overcome.
Exactly.
All of us are going to be entangled one way or another here or there.
Yeah, there you go.
It is unavoidable.
Amen.
Only God's grace keeps us from going all the way and being what? Overcome. But some can be overcome. Isn't that what this says?
What it says.
This is not a hyperbole or something. Look, and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Mac, that's a strong statement.
Yes, sir.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Amen.
But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. So this does happen to people, don't it?
That's exactly right.
The dog that is turned, the problem is he or she's still a dog.
Yep.
The dog that is turned, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. That's nasty to think about.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? But that's the proverb God Almighty calls the proverb giver to use concerning, to describe rather, apostasy.
That's right.
It's like eating something and then puking it up. And that's the apostasy. But here's what an apostate does. He goes back and starts licking that what he's spewed up. That's nasty. Corrupt. Listen, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That ain't getting saved and getting lost, getting saved and getting lost. No. Apostasy is damning to the soul. Now, I cannot look at each individual and say, if someone has fallen away or fallen, yeah. I should say, as to whether they've actually fallen away or not.
Exactly.
Falling and falling away look the same in the beginning.
You're right.
They're both a fall.
Yeah.
But one falls away, the other one just falls. God then brings them back.
Yes, sir.
This one here don't come back. It turns back to where it was.
Exactly.
Our Lord gave an illustration of this. You got a house, got all this nastiness in it, and you clean all that nastiness up, then it's real clean and shiny.
Yeah.
Then what happens? The demons, and then he tells you what it's really about. The demons that's been cleaned out of that house, they come back and find it empty or swept,
garnished,
and what?
Yeah.
Here's the problem, empty. And more demons come along with the one and enter back into the house. And the second state's worse than the first. Same thing that Peter's talking about here.
That's right. Exactly right.
That's what apostasy is.
Yes, sir.
And it's damning to the soul.
Exactly.
The whole of this world of things, of entities, of beings, whether they be demonic or human, is set to fight against a man or a woman and true fruitful believing. All these things set against obstacles,
yes,
set
sir.
In the way. We sang the song for a reason. Is this vile world a friend to grace, to help me unto God? The answer is rhetorical. No, even it's not just no. No, this vile world is an obstacle. Everything about it, everything in it, including myself, because some of us even trod down the seed when it's sown, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me unto God? Who among us is able to withstand all these things personally?
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody. Think of these three things. Hearing the word of God is essential, is it not? It's essential.
Yes, sir.
But mere hearing is not enough.
Exactly.
Now turn to Matthew. This is Matthew's account of it. Listen to what the words he uses. Matthew 13 and verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now let me just stop just a moment. The word of the kingdom is exactly the same message as the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
There is not the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the kingdom.
You're right. Exactly.
And these premillennialists who are proposing such a thing and have been for years are liars.
You're right.
The kingdom is not about 1,000 years. The kingdom is about the king.
Amen.
And his reign. Yes. And his subjects. That's what the kingdom's about.
Yes, sir.
When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, oh look, and understandeth it not. Let us take note. Remember, some people don't get it at all.
Exactly.
And this is not about education.
No, it's not.
I have spoken with some that are very intelligent individuals, worked all over the world. And you speak to them concerning the word of the kingdom, and they just don't get it. I mean, it's like, whew. Now look, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, and what do men do with stuff they don't understand?
Yeah.
Put it down under their feet, usually, don't they?
Exactly right.
Trot it underfoot. You see? Look, where am I at? 19. Then cometh the wicked one and catch away that which was sown in his heart. This is that which receives seed by the wayside. Do you see it? There must be an understanding which works belief unto salvation. Go back to Luke 8 and verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear the word, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. And I'll apply all that together. And look at this. Lest they should what? Believe and be saved. Understanding is vital. But you remember what Paul said, don't you, in Romans 3 verse 11? There is none that understandeth.
That's what he says.
Huh?
Amen.
Right? There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. He's talking about me and you.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, beloved, if it's not the free and reigning grace of God, we're goners.
Exactly.
Well, I'm good ground. Oh, don't brag on being good ground. Good ground ain't nothing but dirt. Right?
That's it.
Good ground ain't nothing but dirt.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. Apart from good ground, it's even worse than dirt.
There you go. That's right.
Here's another thing. Joy in the word. That's the first. The first one is the first ground. Hearing the word's essential, but mere hearing is not enough. Some people just can't get it.
Yep.
And you know what? That's just the way it is. You know that? You can't change that. I can't change it. I can't give a man understanding. Who only can do that?
Yeah.
God above.
Amen.
But here's another thing. Joy in the word. That's in the scripture, in the gospel, in Christ. It's essential. Right? Remember last week, Romans 10 and 11. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That's joy. I mean, if you're not ashamed of something, you're happy about it, right? You joy in it. And yet we see one group here that immediately receives the seed, the good word of God, with joy. But joy itself is not enough. Turn back to Matthew 13 again. Listen to what our Lord said. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon, that means immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but doeth for a while.
Yeah.
For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the very word he immediately received now, you see it? By and by he is offended. And then Luke says he what?
Yeah.
He fell away. Right? Went into apostasy.
Yep.
Read what Mark says about it. Mark chapter 4. This is the way Mark puts it. Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. But this lets me know this. It's got to be an inner work.
Yeah.
It's got to be inside of you.
Exactly.
It don't work its way inside. No, something's got to be done on the inside to start with.
There you go.
You see? Even before the good word of God.
That's right.
Now look. And have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arise for the word's sake. And it will.
That's what it says.
Immediately, just as quick as they received it, they'll that quick turn from it.
Exactly.
Immediately they're offended. Well, you made me mad. I can't even see get over it because you can't get over it.
That's right.
I'd love to say just get over it, but they can't get over it.
Yeah. Right.
It's what man is by nature. We kind of think of there's four different kinds of people. No, there's only two different kinds of people.
Yeah.
Absolutely, totally depraved and unregenerate, or absolutely, totally depraved and regenerate.
Amen. That's it.
The absolutely, totally depraved, unregenerate manifest themselves in at least three different ways.
Exactly.
But there are only two kinds of people.
That's it. Yes, sir.
Different kinds of ground, we might say, yeah, but only two different kinds of people.
That's true.
And apart from the grace of God, we are all unregenerate.
Amen.
Of course, Luke 8 again, verse 13. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, in a time of temptation, what do? They go into apostasy. They fall away. Our Lord put it this way. He preached the truth, and it said, and many believed on him. This is in John 8, verses 30 and 31. Then it says that Jesus said unto them, those Jews which believed on him. Now it says they believed on him, so I take it that they believed on him. But then he said to them, Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you will continue to be my disciples. Is that what he said? No. No. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So if you don't continue, then you wasn't a disciple indeed. You wasn't really one. You may have really believed.
Oh, yeah.
But that belief came from somewhere other than God.
Exactly.
And the only thing that tells the difference is how long you last. Whether you die in faith or you die outside of faith.
Exactly.
That lets me know that if it ain't the grace of God, Joe, I'm a goner.
Exactly.
Because if everything I think I got right now leaves tomorrow, then I had nothing.
Yeah.
What I had today is nothing. And then go back and read what Matthew, he that hath, to him shall be taken away. He that hath not, to be given.
That's what it says.
This is in God's hands, folks.
Exactly.
It's in God's hands.
Yeah.
Go back and read. It's there. It's in between the parable and the explanation. We'll read it in a moment. Yeah, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And it wasn't just moments later they was wanting to kill him. They didn't last very long at all, did they? Huh? But I don't care if you last 100 years, if you died 101.
Yeah.
And you've abandoned the truth of God and His Christ, you'll perish forever.
That's it.
Don't think God owes you anything by any merit you have or do.
Right.
Number three, this world's cares, its pleasures, and money, they must be dealt with.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. They must be dealt with. Try to go without money for a while.
Yeah.
See how that works out for you.
Right.
You'll be at the Salvation Army. You'll be somewhere begging for clothes or for food now, won't you? And there are cares in this life. There are things you got to attend to. And there are, and not all pleasures are evil and wicked, but they all are an obstacle.
Exactly.
They're all an obstacle. This world's cares, its pleasures, its money, they must be dealt with, but they're all deadly to the soul. Look at it, Luke 8, 14. Go back and read it. Look at Mark 4, 18 and 19. Look at Matthew 13 and verse 22. These things rise up and it chokes the word and the person. You'll see both said that.
Yeah, that's right.
It chokes the word and the person.
That's right.
The word choked, the person choked. No salvation.
That's right.
You hear what I said? No salvation. Either one or both.
That's right.
Either one or both. The word choked or the person choked, no salvation. If salvation, and when I say salvation, I mean fruitful believing.
Yeah.
The fourth ground. Fruitful believing. And as what God willing, next time we'll look at fruitful believing. What is this really about? But if salvation, that is fruitful believing, and one thing about fruitful believing, it's not all of the same quantity. But it is all still the same quality.
Yes.
Because it is called a fruit, singular, never fruits.
That's right. That's right.
You might say, but I don't love God like so-and-so does. Yeah, you do. You may not love him as much as so-and-so does, but if you're under God's grace and God's grace conquered you, you love with the same kind of love that so-and-so does. You just may not love as much. Some bring forth what? 30, some 60, some 100. But they all still bring forth fruit.
There you go.
And they do it with patience.
Yes, sir.
Because it comes slowly.
That's right.
It doesn't happen tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
If salvation, that is fruitful believing, is not by free reigning grace, then no salvation exists at all in this world, folks.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. It's either free sovereign grace or this book is a lie. It's not free will, because this book don't teach free will. It's not by the works of the flesh, because this book refutes works of the flesh. If it's not a work of God, then there is no salvation. This book's just a lie, a fairy tale. And when we die, I don't know what happens. But this book ain't no lie. And let God be true, and let every man be a liar.
Amen.
This book is true. But don't become confused here. God and His Word is never thwarted.
That's
right. You hear what I said?
Exactly.
The sower goes forth to sow. God really will look at that. Why? Because God sends him forth to
That's
sow.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And God says, my word will accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it. It will not return unto me void. So whatever does come back to God is what? That's what God meant to happen.
Amen.
If the seed was trodden underfoot and the fowls of the air come and snatch it up, Mac, guess what? That's what God purposed.
Right. Exactly.
If thorns come up and choke it out, the word and the person, that's God's sovereign purpose.
Yes,
if it falls on stony ground and ain't got no depth, and ain't got no moisture, and ain't got no root, that's God's purpose. Look at each one, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three. He gives the parable. They actually go away from the multitude. The disciples come up to him privately and said, Lord, explain this parable to us. But before he explains the parable, he says, it's given unto you. Others, it's not given unto.
Amen.
They're not going to see. They're not going to hear. They're not going to understand. They're not going to be converted, and they're not going to be healed.
That's what it said.
Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
He said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any other parable?
Exactly.
Because this one gets to the crux of it all.
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
It's all about God. And whatever happens when the word is sown is what God Almighty sovereignly, in His wisdom, I can't explain it. And I don't need to try to justify it. Whatever happens when the word is sown, that's what God sovereignly purposed to take place.
Amen.
The devil can't snatch a thing lest God Almighty suffers him to do so.
That's exactly right.
Look at me. I feel like, Joe, I was all three of them grounds at one time or another.
Exactly.
In some way or fashion. How often did I trod underfoot the Word of God? How often did things choke out the Word of God and both it and me become unfruitful?
Yep.
How often years ago I made my profession, I turned away. You say, well, that was all religion. It was still under the Word of God.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I read this Bible. I knew what this Bible said, but I didn't understand it.
Exactly.
Now, how in the world did I ever become good ground? Only by an act of free sovereign grace. Only because it's given unto you to know these things.
That's it.
They all three mentioned. It's amazing. You know, and for years I never even seen it. It's kind of, why is that little part in there? Why? Because Christ wants these disciples to understand this. No matter what happens when you sow the word, God Almighty, your God, and His Father, the Father of Jesus Christ, is accomplishing exactly what He purposed to accomplish in this world.
Amen.
And that's just the way it is. You know what? That comforts me. It doesn't make me want to be loose and not sow the word. It wants me to go out there and sow seed even more. But we don't get no response. Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
No response is a response.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
That's the response God's ordained.
Yes, sir.
Well, we preach on the radio and nobody even says boo. God's having His way with His word, folks.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Isn't He? But what about that money? Wait a minute, watch out for deceitful riches. What's it all about anyway? Isn't it out about the sower went forth to sow? It didn't say the sower sat down in his nice little sweet chair and just started throwing out some seed. No, you go forth. In other words, you engage in this thing. Now, let's go back. What was that number we sang? 166. Now listen to it. Listen to verse 3 again, and I'll close with this. 166, a mighty fortress, Martin Luther. Verse 3, and though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph, what? Through us.
That's right.
He's not preaching the gospel to the world. Who is? We are.
Exactly.
He ordained it that way. It'll do what God wants it to do.
Yes, sir.
Look, the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fail him.
Yep.
Remember, Satan can't move lest God gives him say-so.
Exactly.
So even if you die, as we've seen the song say, we'll still conquer.
That's right.
If they kill us for preaching the gospel, what have they done?
Yeah.
Us a favor. Really? Yeah. If we preach the gospel and you lose your job, what have they done to you for you? A favor? But, no but. Don't let the thorns choke you or the word. Right? Cares, pleasures, deceitful riches. It don't matter. You're going to die anyway. And who shall these things be?
Exactly.
Folks, oh God, if I was motivated the way I ought to be motivated by this truth.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, I'd never bellyache and murmur again.
Yeah, that's it.
But I do.
Exactly.
But God's grace is sufficient to turn me around and bow me down once again at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Sir.
Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? Next week, God willing, we'll look at fruitful believing. Father, be with us all as we part from one another. Be with those who weren't able to be here today. And Lord, may we be mindful of one another. May we pray for one another. May we, our thoughts be with one another. May we talk to one another. Support one another. Help one another. In Christ's name, amen.